Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Message Podcast.
I want to talk about vision this morning, and people have asked my mother and daddy, why did you have so many children? There's 13 of us kids. And I heard daddy say oftentimes he felt like God wanted him to have a big family. That was the vision that God gave to them, and I'm so glad they didn't stop with eight. Otherwise, I would never have been here, so we're grateful for them. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn this morning to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 as we read the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. It's also a vision. Jesus gives a vision. He paints a picture for what the church is supposed to do. Now, I need to tell you that I generally have the outline ready by Thursday, but often we'll let Angela know what I'm preaching from. Angela Walden handles our media. She puts all the slides up. We sure appreciate her ministry. And on Wednesday night, she says to me, now, are you sure that you want to build the whole sermon off of Acts chapter 1, verse 8? And I said, well, yeah, for sure. She said, no other scriptures. I said, no. No, that's the only one. It's going to be on the vision that God gave the church. And so she said, well, I was just a little concerned. I had no idea what she meant. But that night she texted and she said this, please know that I was very worried about the sermon on Sunday. I didn't zoom in on my verse, and my poor eyesight read it as Acts 1:18. And then she quotes Acts 1:18. Then Judas bought some land with the money he was given for doing that evil thing. He fell headfirst into the field. His body burst open, and all of his bowels gushed out. She said, I just couldn't see how you'd connect that with the vision of the church. No, it's Acts 1:8. It's not Acts 1:18. So, this is what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says. Now, remember that the book of Acts is the actions of the Holy Spirit empowering the church. So the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the things that Jesus did as he lived as a man here on earth. The book of Acts tells the things that Jesus continued to do through his disciples. And the book of Acts is still being written as the gospel continues to spread through the world. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, these are the words that Jesus gave to his disciples. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, the vision that Jesus gave to his disciples to empower, to give them a visual of what the church is to be doing in the world. This is my last sermon on church revitalization. This completes 12 messages that I've preached on how to bring renewal, revitalization into a church. Many churches die for lack of vision. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're supposed to do or what to accomplish or how they're going to accomplish it. Jesus, though, he gives his disciples this vision for the rest of their ministry. He's about to ascend into heaven. They ask him about the kingdom of Israel. And the vision that Jesus has for the church is much larger than the kingdom of Israel. They're thinking about, when are you going to restore the nation of Israel to its authority? And Jesus said, that's all about what the Father's authority is, but I want you to be a witness for me to all the world. And he sends them out with this vision. Now, not far from here, 30 miles from here in McGregor, Texas, Elon Musk founded what's known as SpaceX. It's a testing site for rockets and rocket engines. Sometimes when I'm in my office, I'll feel the roar. I'll hear the sound. Sometimes at the farm, Jan and I look at each other and say, well, they're testing another rocket. He was interviewed as to why he did founded SpaceX. And he, in the New York Times Deal Book Summit on Wednesday, November 30th of 2023, this is what he said. He said, I have a philosophy of curiosity, and I desire for humans to be a multi-planet species. He also said his groundbreaking work with SpaceX was about how he didn't want life to be simply about solving problems, but I want something to look forward to every day. A vision does that. A vision gets you out of bed. A vision gives you motivation. A vision fuels something of energy and excitement and anticipation in what God is doing in my life and in my church and in my family. Vision is defined as the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. It's a thought, a concept, an object formed by the imagination. Christians live with a sense of imagination. We call it faith. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. We know angels surround us. We know there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We know the Holy Spirit lives within us. There's things we believe we can't see or explain. We live by faith. And we move through this world with that sense of anticipation and dependence on God. George Washington Carver said, "Where there is no vision, there is no hope." Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. They languish. They have no purpose. There's no sense of direction." I think the disciples came to this point in their life and they were asking, "What do we do now? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said, "That's part of the Father's authority, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the world, to all the earth, and share the gospel empowered by my Holy Spirit." Can you imagine the disciples wondering, how are we going to even get to the end of the earth, much less do the work you've called us to do? He tells them he'll give them the power to do that. You understand, friend, that we're worshiping in this building this morning because somebody somewhere in the past had a vision. We're in a church today and we formed a church 50 years ago. We're here today because somebody had a vision. This parking lot, these 11 acres, that annex, all of this ministry is birthed because somebody sometime had a vision. We build our lives off the shoulders of those people who had vision. Our nation is built from visionary people. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. Thomas Jefferson said, "If you want something you have never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done." This nation of freedom, this United States of America, Martin Luther King had a dream sermon that caught the attention of the United States in August of 1963. "I have a dream of what the world would look like without racism." Thomas Edison had a vision. He had 1,093 patents in 84 years, but he had a vision of a light bulb, a flame that would burn and give light in this vacuum. He invented it in 1879. John F. Kennedy had a vision of men walking on the moon. People said he was crazy, but it was July 21st of 1969 where Neil Armstrong put his foot on the moon, saying one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Henry Ford wanted to build a car with a gas-powered engine, and it happened in 1896. The Wright brothers designed and built a plane to fly in 1903. People have visions. Nothing happens without a dream. Dream big. Aim for the sun. You may not reach it, but you'll fly higher than if you've never aimed at all. And you need to dream focused. You're much more likely to hit a target if you set one up. What does God want to do with this church? What does God want to do with my family? What does God want to do with my life? Robert Greenleaf says, "Not much happens without a dream." And for something great to happen, there must be a great dream. Behind every great achievement is a dreamer of great dreams. Much more than is required to bring it to reality. But the dream must come first. The first constitution of the Trinity Baptist Church, when they assembled with 116 people, said, "Believing it is God's will for us to establish a church, we solemnly enter into a covenant to become an organized church for the purposes of worshiping God, witnessing to his saving grace, living as Christ in the world, and ministering to the needs of people." Jesus gathered his disciples on that mountaintop, and he said, "This is what your next chapter holds for you. I want you, empowered by my Spirit, to go to the world and make disciples, witness to the gospel. Begin in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, what do I gain from what Jesus said? Talking about vision, what do I gain from these words? Number one, God's vision is bigger than ours. God's vision is bigger than ours. Let me tell you something. God's vision for your life is bigger than your vision for your life. Now, I didn't say God's vision for you was for you to be great. Greatness, God gives greatness so that you make His name great. God doesn't make people great so they become wealthy and well-known and popular. No, the vision God gives is not to make great people. It's to make His name great through yielded people, through people who honor the Lord and want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about Saul, the first king of Israel, how the Bible says he didn't want to be king. He was timid. He felt himself unworthy. And then later on, after he'd won a battle or two, the Bible says in 1 Samuel, says that he made a monument to himself. And Samuel went to see this monument. And then he found Saul about to have another battle, and Saul was lavishing in his victory. And this is what Samuel said. You know, you used to be small in your own eyes, and now you've become great in your own eyes. People can't do great things for God when they're great in their own eyes. God doesn't give you a vision so you'll be great. God gives you a vision so that you'll make His name great. But I'm telling you, God's vision is bigger than your vision for your life. God can do things through you. And I've heard people say, well, this is laid on my heart. God laid this on my heart to do, but I just don't think I can ever do it. Man alive, would you please look at your life through the eyes of God? God is a master of taking people who think they're worthless and making something wonderful from their life. In Matthew 24, verse 14, the Bible says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's God's vision. You know, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, was always doing more than the disciples could imagine. He had 5,000 people, probably more like 20,000, and he told his disciples, hey, feed these folks. And they said, are we going to feed these people? How do you do that? And Jesus took the bread, and he took the fish, and he broke it up, and he blessed it, and it fed everybody. It had 12 baskets left over. Man, God's vision is greater than your vision. When he went to Bethany, they thought they were going to go comfort the family of Mary and Martha. No, no. Jesus didn't go to comfort the family. Jesus went to raise the dead. He raised Lazarus, called him out of the grave. God's vision is always bigger than our vision. And then Revelation 7, verse 9, John, the revelator, God reveals to him a picture of the future. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This revelation of this vision of this multitude of people from all over the world standing before the throne of God. God's vision is bigger than your vision. God's vision is bigger than your vision for yourself. God's vision is bigger than your vision for your family. God's vision is bigger than your vision for the church. No, we serve a God who sees through us persons he can use, channel through his energy, his spirit, and bring about things that we can't imagine. Paul said when he prayed, he said, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think through his power that works in us. We can't imagine what God can do. Now, a vision should provide guidance for the future. It should give us a picture of who we are and what we're supposed to do and why we exist and how we're going to do it. And a vision should paint an inspiring picture, and Jesus does that for his disciples. The Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll shoot witnesses for me. And then a vision should have some steps, some guidance to it. And that's my second point. God's vision is bigger than your vision. And secondly, God's vision comes with plans and guidance. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God gives them a guide. In fact, there's the outline for the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, they preach to the Jerusalem crowd. In Acts chapter 8, they preach to Judea and Samaria. In Acts chapter 13, they move out of Israel and they preach to the other parts of the earth. And then Paul takes it all the way to Rome. He plans to go to Spain. You see the outline of the book of Acts, and we're not through with Acts yet. I don't mean preaching through Acts. I mean living through Acts. God is still, through the power of His Spirit, sending the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wasn't it interesting just a couple weeks ago to have the missionary couple here talk about what God is doing in their their ministry over in Central Europe? And we heard this week from North Africa from our kids. They saw two people saved. They're learning the language a little better. God is still moving in His world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's a plan. You think about Noah was told to build an ark. God gave specific instructions on how to do it, how big it was supposed to be, how much, what material he was supposed to use. When he created the world in 6 days, day one, day two, day three, day four, God's organized, man. God has a plan. He told Abraham, through your lineage, I'll bless the whole world. And he told him how he would do it. And then in Moses, the Bible says, sent to Egypt to rescue the people, gave dimensions for the tabernacle, gave him the Ten Commandments, sent him to take the people to the promised land. God's vision comes with guidance, with a plan. David was told that the kingdom that he ruled would last forever. We know how that happens now. It's through Jesus Christ. God touching the world through people's lives. And God guides them in the process. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we read this last week, but it's complementary to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just so you'll stay awake, let's read together. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We call it a vision. We call it a commission, but it is a vision. Here's what I'm going to do in the world. Bob Beale says, leadership is knowing what to do next, knowing why that's important, and knowing how to bring the appropriate resources to bear on the needed hand. I'll tell you, church, it was so exciting for me to watch the various gifts and talents and energy invested in the passion play. Right? Amen? Wasn't it fun? It was work, but it was great fun. And it touched our community. I mean, for weeks we were talking about right here, we're going to have a tent, right out here, right out of tent. And it happened. Thankful Jonathan and Deborah and their leadership. Thankful for Gary Morgan and his leadership and all the other people that invested time and energy. But that thing came together and wow. It started as a dream and ended up as wow. Look what God can do with somebody like us. Now, I didn't have any hope for you guys, but you came through. See, God has more. He has more optimism than I do. He talks about these people. That was a dream. That was a vision that God brought to pass. And many of us thought, wow, how are we going to afford this? Who's going to do this? Who's going to be able to do this and this and this and this? Dream big. Dream big. Look at your life through the eyes of God. God's vision is always bigger than our vision. And God always provides the guidance when He sends us on vision. And the third thing I want you to know is God's vision comes with the power to complete it. Okay, now, if you think God has given you a vision that you can do on your own, it probably wasn't from God. I don't know any stories in the Bible where God sends people out on mission and they think, okay, I think I got enough money and I think I got enough skill and I'm gifted enough. Yeah, okay, God, I got this. You think you want to hear God laugh? I got this. No, you haven't got anything. And you shall receive power. I'm going to send you on mission. I'm going to give you a vision, but I'm going to give you the power to do it. And what a vision completed when we look at our life and we think, Lord, there's no way I'm capable of the things you're asking me to do, but I'm understanding that through the power of your Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, nothing is impossible We can dream big because of the power of the Spirit of God that lives in our life, going to the ends of the world. Remember, God told Abraham, I'm going to make a nation out of you, and through your lineage, I'll bless the world. And he was 100 years old, and he still hadn't had the son of promise. And so at 100, God said to her, he and Sarah, he said, I'm going to give you a son. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. Can a woman 90 years old bear a son? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, God says, why did Sarah laugh? Have you ever laughed when God told you something? I'm going to send you to this country. You're going to write a book. You're going to write a song. You're going to be a great witness to the world. I'm going to equip you to do things that you hadn't thought about doing. There's some folks at work you're going to be a witness to. I've got plans for your life. And he said, roll your eyes. It doesn't say it, but you can put that in there in parentheses. Sarah rolled her eyes. Why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that question is no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He casts a vision and he gives the power to complete it. In Ezekiel 37, verse 5, we have the story of the dry bones. We read about it a little bit ago when we were singing about Ezekiel and coming in the cloud. What's the name of the song? Days of Elijah. In Ezekiel 37, the Bible says God took Ezekiel to the valley, and the valley was filled with dry bones. We think probably it was the location of a great battle in the past. All of these bones have already been decomposed. The bodies were gone. And God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, I don't know. You know. So Ezekiel 37, verse 5, God answers, this is what the sovereign Lord says. The word sovereign means he's in control of everything. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You have this picture of absolute deadness, and you have the power of God's breath breathing life into the bones. God is a master at bringing life into dead things. You think your marriage is dead? Maybe that job that you're in, maybe that sense of the chapter you're walking through right now, a little bit of depression, a little bit of discouragement, not certain what the future holds. I mean, there's not much life in the plans that you'd have. You think that's dead? Think the ministry, maybe that God gave to you, the ministry with the people at work or the ministry with your family, maybe you think your family's dead. You've given up with your children. You've given up on them coming to Christ or serving the Lord. God is a master at taking deadness and bringing it back to life. Now, he can do more with your life than you can. And he has the power to fulfill the vision that he gives to you and I. What does God want to do with us? Well, I love this verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now, I understand Jeremiah is talking to those Israelites who were living in bondage in Babylon, but I still think we can take the verse and apply it to our life. You're walking through a desert time. You're walking through an empty part of life. You're feeling discouraged, you're feeling disillusioned. I got a word for you. Ready? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I know he spoke that through Jeremiah some 600 years BC, but man, God can do with my life. You know, take my past. He takes my problems. He takes the struggles I've been through. He doesn't focus on my failures. God is focused on my future. Oh, God's vision for your life is bigger than your vision for your life. And His vision for the church is bigger than our vision for the church. We have to begin to look at our life and look at our church through the eyes of God. In 1982, when Disney's Epcot Center opened, it was 16 years after Walt Disney had died. We took the girls there when they were little. At the opening of the Epcot Center, his widow, Lillian Disney, cut the ribbon. And then she came to the podium to say some words, and one of the executives of Disney World said, "Miss Disney, I just wish Walt could have been here to see this." And she said, "He did. He did." And he died 16 years before Epcot Center was ever created, but he saw it. He saw it. He dreamed a big dream. And it materialized because of the vision, because the vision gave energy. God's got a vision for your life. And He'll bring it to pass through His Spirit. He needs you to surrender. "Lord, here am I. Do with me whatever you want to do. Here am I." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you don't give up on us. We thank you that you're able to take people who feel so unworthy and so useless, so ill-equipped. Lord, that's been how you've worked through the history. Your disciples were fishermen and tax collectors, zealots. But God, you did great things through them. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, you turned the world upside down. Father, as we look at the vision you gave to the church and we understand that we're stewards of this vision. We're stewards of this vision. And Lord, I believe in many lives, Lord, there's been a vision given personally to people about what you want them to do. Maybe they gave up on that vision. I pray, God, you'd remind them today they're stewards of the vision, the dream. Not for their own greatness, but for to make the name of God great in the world. Father, in that valley of dry bones, I pray you'd breathe life back into that. I pray, Lord, for people here today, God, they got married at one point, made promises to one another. They had a dream of what that family would be like, and then they're watching the marriage die. They're seeing their family, Lord, die. Would you remind them this morning, oh God, that you've not given up? That there's enough power through the Holy Spirit to heal anything. There is nothing impossible with God. So I pray today, Lord, in this place, you'd breathe life into us. Help us to remember the vision you've given to us, Lord, in your word, and help us to work toward it. May you be glorified in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This morning you may be here, you'd say, "Brother Sam, I've never been saved. I'm not even sure God can save somebody like me." I'm here to tell you He can and He will. You're greatly loved by God. Jesus died for you. The cross was for you. The resurrection was for you. He died so that you could be in heaven. He'd rather die than live without you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm inviting you today to give your life to Christ. And then maybe you're here and you're a believer in Christ, but man, you've just lost sight. You just got distracted. You've drifted, and today the Lord is calling you back. Maybe He's reviving a vision in you. Maybe He's renewing in you a sense of purpose and a sense of determination. Maybe God's doing something special. This morning is the morning just to respond. God, here am I. yielding my life. Whatever your desire is, I'm yielding my life to you. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but as we sing this song of response, this altar is open. You can come and pray. There'll be people here to pray with you. Would you let the Lord Jesus have his way, have his will in your life? As we sing together, you come.
Thank you for listening to this weekend's message. If you liked this, please consider leaving a rating or review for this podcast.